Okay, so today we're diving deep into the book of Acts, specifically the very end, Paul in Rome. And it might seem like a kind of quiet ending at first glance, but it's actually full of all this UGE significance.
Oh, it is.
So we're going to be using Dr. Robert Peterson and I, Howard Marshall, to really kind of tease apart
great sources
the essential stuff here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you want to learn this stuff quickly and deeply.
That's the goal.
Without it being boring.
Exactly.
And that's what we're going to try to deliver here.
I think we can do it.
I think so, too.
All right.
So it's easy to think that the story just kind of wraps up at the end of Acts.
But there's so much more to unpack.
There is so much more there.
Yeah.
So Paul is in Rome.
He made it. God made it.
But it's not like this big, like, triumphant arrival. He's under house arrest. And as Dr. Peterson put it, Paul in prison, but the gospel is not bound.
Powerful statement.
Right. And we're focusing specifically on Acts 28, the last chapter.
Okay.
And we're going to be looking at that through session 17 of Dr. Peterson's lectures on the theology of Luke-Acts.
Okay.
And then also I, Howard Marshall, God's Purpose in History and Mission and Message in Acts.
All right, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So Acts 28, verse 16, we see Paul arriving in Rome, and he's allowed to stay by himself with a soldier guarding him.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's not the grand entrance you might expect.
No, not at all.
And his first move isn't even to go to the synagogue.
Right. Which was his usual thing.
Yeah, exactly. His pattern.
Yeah.
He actually calls a meeting with the local Jewish leaders after 3 days.
Interesting. So he takes the initiative.
He does.
Okay.
And when they meet, Paul explains his situation.
Okay.
Paul says, "Brothers, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans."
Hmm. So even in his defense, he's subtly shifting the focus.
You got it.
Not to breaking, like, Jewish law.
Right.
But to the hope of Israel.
Yes.
The Messiah.
Which is the real conflict.
Yeah, the core issue.
Right.
And what I find fascinating is how careful Paul is with his words.
Okay.
He really emphasizes that he hasn't violated Jewish law or traditions.
Right. He wants to make that very clear.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And he also points out that the Romans, you know, they didn't find him guilty of anything deserving death.
Okay.
He makes it clear that appealing to Caesar, that wasn't because he was accusing his own people.
Okay.
It was because of the Jewish objections in Judea.
Got it.
Yeah. And then he gets to the real reason he wanted to talk to them.
Okay. What's that?
He says, "For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain."
Wow. That's a powerful connection.
It is.
He's directly saying his imprisonment is because of their shared belief in the Messiah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the response from the Jewish leaders in Rome.
Yeah, what do they say?
Well, they tell him that they haven't actually heard anything official from Judea about him.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
No bad reports or anything. But they are curious about his beliefs.
Okay.
They mention this sect Christianity and how it's everywhere spoken against.
Yeah, you can see how controversial the early Christian movement already was.
Absolutely. And it's already reached Rome.
And it's already reached Rome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, so Paul has kind of set the stage now.
He's explained his situation and his core belief.
Right.
And what happens next is where it gets really interesting.
Okay, so we're still in this final chapter.
Still in Acts 28.
Okay.
So after that first meeting, a larger group of Jewish people comes to see Paul at his lodging.
Okay.
And Luke says that from morning till evening, Paul is explaining and testifying to the kingdom of God.
Wow.
Trying to convince them about Jesus.
Mm.
He's using both the law of Moses and the prophet.
He's going all in.
A whole day of intense teaching and discussion.
Really shows his dedication even under house arrest.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, so what happened?
What's the outcome of this teaching?
Yeah.
Well, as we see throughout Acts, there's a mixed reaction.
Okay.
Some are convinced by what he said, but others just don't believe.
Yeah, there's that division.
There is.
Okay.
And as they're about to leave,
yeah,
Paul makes this really significant statement.
Okay, and this is where we get that Isaiah quote.
Yes.
Can you break that down?
So he quotes Isaiah 6:9-10 to those who didn't believe.
Okay.
It talks about people hearing but not understanding, seeing but not perceiving.
Right.
Their hearts are hardened. They barely hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes.
Wow. So it's a strong statement about their refusal to accept what he's shown them.
It shows how spiritual blindness can really prevent people from seeing the truth.
Even when he's using their own sacred text.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then Paul concludes with a statement that has a big impact on how Christianity developed.
Okay, what does he say?
He says, "Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen."
Hmm. I noticed the past tense there.
Yes. And that's important, as David Peterson highlights.
How so?
Paul isn't just predicting that the Gentiles will accept this message.
Oh.
He's saying it's already happening. It's a historical fact.
Wow. So the opportunity has been given to the Gentiles and they're responding.
Exactly.
And that shift is crucial for understanding how Christianity spread beyond its Jewish roots.
Absolutely. It's a pivotal moment.
Okay, so we've seen Paul's first interactions in Rome.
And those immediate reactions.
Yeah.
Now let's take a step back.
Okay.
And look at the bigger picture.
Okay, the larger significance of this last chapter.
Right.
What stands out to you?
Well, one thing Peterson emphasizes is how the concept of the kingdom of God frames this whole passage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It starts in verse 23 with Paul testifying to the kingdom of God.
Right.
And ends in verse 31 with him proclaiming the kingdom of God.
It really bookends the chapter.
It does.
Yeah.
And as Larkin says,
yeah,
for devout Jews at that time, the kingdom of God was the eschatological highway into the heart.
What does he mean by eschatological?
It refers to beliefs about the end times and God's ultimate plan.
Right.
So for them, the kingdom of God wasn't just a present reality.
Okay.
But their ultimate hope, the culmination of God's promises.
Got it.
And Peterson ties this to the larger themes he sees in Acts.
Okay, what are those?
First, he argues that Acts is essentially about the kingdom of God, the gospel message, and Jesus himself.
Okay.
Believers are subjects of the kingdom. They believe in the gospel.
Right.
And they're devoted to Jesus.
Those three ideas are woven together throughout the whole book.
They are.
Yeah.
And secondly, Peterson highlights the ongoing importance of evangelism in Acts.
Okay. Starting from that initial instruction from Jesus in Acts 1.8.
Right. To be his witnesses to the ends of the earth.
Right. And we see that play out with Paul.
We do, all the way to Acts 28.
Verse 23, teaching from morning till evening.
Yep.
Verse 31, proclaiming the kingdom of God.
It's a constant theme.
It is.
And it's important to note that Luke ends his account by mentioning those 2 years Paul spent under house arrest in Rome.
Right, where he welcomed all who came to him.
Exactly.
And continued proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
That's from verses 30 and 31.
Even in confinement, his mission wasn't over.
It wasn't.
Yeah, the end of Acts isn't really an ending.
Not at all.
The message keeps going.
It does.
Okay, let's bring in a Howard Marshall now to get another perspective.
Right.
So as Peterson says,
yeah,
Marshall views Luke's account as not just history, but a narrative with a deeper theological meaning.
He does.
Luke wasn't just recording facts.
Right.
He was showing their theological importance.
He was weaving a story.
Yeah. And Marshall's first main point,
yeah,
is God's purpose in history.
Also called salvation history.
Which basically means?
Well, it means understanding history,
yeah,
especially the events in the Bible, part of God's overall plan to redeem humanity.
Okay, so what does Marshall emphasize within this?
He argues that the events in Acts are a direct continuation of God's actions in the Old Testament.
Right.
And in Jesus' ministry.
It's all part of God's plan unfolding over time.
It is.
Okay.
And he contrasts this with views that downplay the importance of actual historical events for faith.
Okay.
For Marshall, historical events like the resurrection are crucial for Christian belief.
They're the foundation.
They are.
Yeah.
Just like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15.65.
If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins.
Exactly.
So if those things didn't actually happen,
the basis for belief crumbles.
It crumbles.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does Marshall see God's purpose playing out in Acts specifically?
He highlights a few key things.
Okay.
First, the events in Acts are shown to be caused by God's will and purpose.
Right.
Like the death and resurrection of Jesus in Acts 2.23.
Yep.
Second, the life and growth of the early church fulfill Old Testament prophecies and patterns.
Like in Acts 2.17 and 21, 13.47, 15.17 and 18, and of course Acts 28.25, 27 with that Isaiah quote.
Exactly. So these events aren't just random.
They're part of a divinely guided plan that was predicted.
Yes.
Wow.
Third, God guides the church through the Holy Spirit, angels, prophets, and even personal appearances.
There are lots of examples of that throughout Acts.
Many examples.
Yeah.
And fourth, God's power is evident in the signs and wonders performed in Jesus' name.
Like the healing of the lame man in Acts 3.17.
Yes.
And the miracles in Iconium in Acts 14.3.
God is clearly active in the world and the life of the church.
Okay, so that's God's purpose in history.
Now let's move on to mission and message.
Okay, what does Marshall say about that?
He turns to Acts 1.8 as a summary of the whole book.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Exactly. The call to be witnesses to Jesus.
Right, from the very beginning.
From the start.
And that's the mission of the church. Okay, so what was the central message of their witness?
Tom Marshall says it's that Jesus is the Messiah and Lord, that he was raised from the dead.
Right.
And that through him comes forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Got it.
And he emphasizes that Jesus' resurrection and exaltation are central to all the preaching in Acts.
Oh.
And we see that message spreading geographically, just like in Acts 1.8.
Starting in Jerusalem.
Then to Judea and Samaria.
And then to the Gentiles.
Yes!
With Paul playing a key role in that.
Absolutely, especially starting from Antioch.
Right.
And Marshall concludes by saying that the purpose of Acts, ending with Paul in Rome, is to show how the gospel reached the heart of the Roman Empire.
Wow. It's amazing when you think about it.
It is.
This seemingly small group and their message reaching the center of power.
And even with their leader under arrest.
It really emphasizes how unstoppable this message is.
It does.
And Ben Witherington III,
yeah,
as Peterson quotes him,
okay,
says it perfectly.
What does he say?
Luke is reminding his readers that no obstacle, not shipwrecks, not poisonous snakes, not even the Roman authorities,
right,
could stop the word of God from reaching the heart of the empire.
Powerful.
Right.
And it's a thought-provoking idea for us today.
It is.
That same message, that same mission,
yeah,
still calls us to share our beliefs boldly and freely, no matter what.
So no matter the circumstances.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the end of Acts, here's something for you to think about.
Okay.
How do the ideas of God's ultimate authority and plan,
what we call sovereignty.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the real choices and actions of people,
like Paul's efforts and the responses of those who heard him,
how do those two things work together in spreading the gospel, as we see in Paul's example?
That's a good question.
How does that challenge or encourage your own understanding and involvement in sharing knowledge and ideas that you think are important?
Definitely something to ponder.
We encourage you to explore Acts further.
Yes.
And check out the work of Dr. Peterson and I, Howard Marshall.
They're great resources.
To really get a deeper understanding of these texts.
Absolutely.
And to you, our listener.
Yeah.
We hope this deep dive has given you just what you were looking for. The key insights in a way that's both clear and engaging.
And maybe some surprising facts.
Some aha
moments. Without being overwhelming.
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep diving deep.